Once again, we welcome all of you in the precious name of the Lord, and in particular all those who are here today for the first time. Who is here today for the first time? Please stand up. Yes. Be welcome. Most surely from Africa, from Romania, from Eastern Europe. One sister, where is she? From Mexico. Another sister, from God bless you. God bless you. May the Lord bless all in a special way, all those. God bless you, beloved brother and sister, from Kiel. God bless you. May the Lord be with all of us. Then we have, you may be seated. We have many greetings, beginning with Russia, especially from Moscow, Ukraine, and then Bielorussia, then from Brother John from Bucharest, from Brother Wallström, Brother Graf, Brother Motika, Brother Mbie, Brother Bruce, Brother Grazian, Brother Etienne Genton, then the brethren from, one moment, from Abidjan, greetings, from Macedonia and Serbia, greetings from Botswana, one moment, greetings from Botswana, greetings from Poland, greetings from Ottawa, Canada, greetings from Kigali, from Brother Deo. Brother Deo was with us on the journey in Ethiopia and also in Rwanda. Then, once again, greetings from Kigali. Yes. And whomever I have forgotten, him I ask to forgive me. Sometimes I note it down, the greetings, and sometimes I don't note it down. We are just grateful. And I also would like to express it here for the indescribable grace which God has given us, that we still can come together. And today, I would like to know who are here today from Romania. Please, all those from Romania, please, stand up. Where are you? Now look at that. From Romania, 1,480 kilometers driving. God bless you in a special way. God bless you in a special way. It's just a hunger here to hear the word of the Lord. And as it is written, that the Lord really would send a hunger to hear his word. And he has also taken care of that the food is here. Today, we are really gathered from the far north, from Finland. Here we have the brother in the first row. And then up to Italy. Yes. From one end of the continent to the other one. And to it are coming all from the various countries. And we just, also from our side, we would like to give greetings to all who are now joining us online. We hope that it will be getting more and more. At the last time, there were 790 connections. And if I think of that, Brother Bier is listening with almost 3,000 people. Brother Motika also phoned, and he said, we bought a large screen. We are live joining you. It's just so wonderful how God is leading everything. What was not possible 50 years ago, this is possible today. The time is advanced, and we can use all these means and possibilities to carry the precious and holy Word of God into all the world. I have here a missionary report from Ethiopia, and in 4 meetings which we had there, where's our brother Idoni? Please stand up. He was with me. Brother Idoni, this is that brother who was accompanying me from Europe. Then our brothers from Kinshasa, Brother George and Brother Deo from Kigali. And I was thinking of that 1933, Brother Branham has seen how Mussolini would attack Ethiopia. 1933, Brother Branham has seen that during the time of the, what would happen in the time during the Third Reich. 1933, Brother Branham has seen the end time up to the destruction of America. And we are just so grateful that God, in this prophetic age, has given a prophetic ministry to bring us up to date in the kingdom of God. And as Brother Branham said very clearly, mankind, or the so-called Christians, they're always thanking God for that, what He did in the past, and are waiting for that, what He will still do, and are bypassing what He is presently doing. And this grace that we may believe and are not bypassing it, this is just the blessing, the blessedness of the elect. In Ethiopia, we had 4 meetings. Three of our brothers arranged them, and then 1 charismatic meeting in which we also were. After many years, I have witnessed this deception, what was going on there. Once again, I witnessed it together with our brothers. When I was finished, and when the service actually had to stop, the man came to the front. He repeated 1 word. He made a big atmosphere. The carpet was there, and the people should come to the front so that they would be anointed with oil, and then he threw them to the floor. He pushed them until they fell to the ground. And then it always said they were slain by the power of God. But by the power of God, nothing was seen there, and nothing could be heard. The catchers were standing left and right, and were holding their arms, and those who were pushed down, they catched them. And the brother said, listen, brother, come, let us go. We couldn't watch it anymore. And I was thinking by myself, just wait a bit. And really, After this miserable show, I was once again called to pray. And in the prayer, I preached. I don't actually want that somebody preaches in the prayer, but this time I also did it. I really told them the things, and I put the things right in my prayer, in the presence of God. And we are just here. We are just here to preach the truth at all times, no matter what may come. And Ezra said, for me, it was a special privilege to be in Addis Ababa. And God, I would like to say, God has given the breakthrough. Also in the neighboring countries, the brethren were coming to hear the word of the Lord. And so the message is running unto the ends of the earth. Then in Rwanda, we had also three meetings. And there were about 3,000 people gathered. Then we had again a ministering meeting, probably about 150 brethren from the various directions of the message. They were coming. And Brother Idoni, he can confirm it. The word of the Lord accomplished for what it was sent for. And the brethren, they were grateful for what the Lord has done. Then we also experienced, we all witnessed, I just want to refer to it briefly, what happened in the last weeks and months on the earth. Perhaps the good news from New Zealand, no one of our brothers and sisters were hurt. Thanks be to God. We received 21 photographs of what happened there. Our brethren there, thanks be to God, they were spared. Also in Australia, when one sees the photographs, there was a great catastrophe there. But the same one can say from Haiti. Our brethren were also spared there. The same one can say from Sumatra. One can say it also of Chile. And we are just so grateful that we recognize the signs of the time, knowing that everything has come very near now. Then, especially when Mr. Putin announced in 2 years the main currency of the US dollar will be over, and he announced that he will make the trade with China without dollars. And he said it openly. He said the time is here where the euro will be the main currency on the earth. He said it very clearly. And we hear it, and we notice it. And the president of the World Bank in the USA, he, because of the dollar crisis, 900 trillions, he printed them, and he openly declared, our dollar is only worth 60 cents. Everything else is debt. I just say it now. By the way, one crisis after the other, whether natural catastrophes, and whoever looks now into the Arabic world, we just mention it just briefly, because it belongs to the end time events. I, of course, know the Lebanon. I preached in Damascus. I was driving in the car in which Churchill was driving. I drove even up to Aleppo. One third were Christians, one third were Sunnites, and the other third were Shiites. Now it's only about a couple of percent Christians, and the rest were refugees. Yeah. Everywhere the fanatics are coming now into the government. Everywhere one notices what is going on. One speaks of democracy, and actually everything is just covered up, and the fanatics are coming to the rulership now. And I was thinking by myself, if it is written in Isaiah 17 that Damascus will be blotted out of being a city, then all of this has to come up now. Also, the ships through the Suez Channel. One notices that the warships doesn't serve for peace. Not so. Let me just read it quickly from the prophet Isaiah. And we will read a couple of scriptures to really look at the times in which we arrived now, so that we know that the rapture is really very, very near. Here, in the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 17, verse 1, Isaiah 17, verse 1, the burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. Verse 12 shows us what is really going on now. Woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. An uproar. Everywhere is uproar. Everywhere something is happening. And what is the actual idea? The actual idea is that Israel has no right to exist, that Israel doesn't belong to this earth at all, and that the whole country should belong now to the Islam. And then one of our politicians, he even said to Germany, Christianity belongs, and Islam. And to my thought came, Germany belongs to the Vatican. You can read it. Since 1924, the Bavarian state paid a lot of money to the Vatican. That what was agreed upon then is still valid today. We can really say here, we can thank God as the country of Reformation, that we can still come together, that the doors are not yet closed here. And that we can carry this precious message into all the world. Now, we'll not go deeply into the events, but let us just read a couple of scriptures to it, namely from the prophet Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel from chapter 39, here we read in verse 9 of what will happen there when the time will come for it. Ezekiel 39, verse 9. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the handstaves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. From Zechariah chapter 14, here we are told the following in the prophetic word. Zechariah 14, here we read verse 2. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. It's just like this, that everything is gathering against Jerusalem, because this is the city, the only city which God has chosen on the earth, together with Mount Zion. And on Mount Zion, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place on the day of Pentecost. And on the Mount Zion, the Lord will complete his work also with Israel. Then we have it in Zechariah 14, verse 16, once again the description. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. The other scriptures I just would like to mention. Genesis 12, verse 3. He who blesses thee shall be blessed, and he who curses thee shall be cursed. God, as the Creator, he has given to all mankind. He has chosen a nation, a city, by which he could announce the plan of salvation. And this he did via Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what God did is well done. Who could do it better? God knows what he did and what he still will do. Genesis 13, verse 15, the promise, all of the land of Canaan, I will give thee. And then once again, Genesis 15, verse 18, all of the land up to the river Euphrates. Precise description is given to us in the Word of God. And this we just believe. We believe that God, as the Creator of the heaven and earth, has the right to make decisions on the earth. Then we have, of course, all the other scriptures, the mighty scriptures, which we don't want to go into detail. But God really, he announced his plan of salvation in advance. And we, who we are living in this time, and who we got the insight into what God planned beforehand. Really, he planned it beforehand. And he has taken us into this planning. Then quickly, the places from the prophet Haggai, because they just belong to it. From the prophet Haggai, here we have in the prophet Haggai, chapter 1, verse 12, Haggai, chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Denn
von alters her, mein Gott, mein Heiliger, wir werden nicht sterben, Herr.
We will not die, Lord.
Hast du ihn bestellt?
You have chosen him for judgment. Did I read rightly? No. He read from Habakkuk.
Aus dem Propheten Haggai.
Prophet Haggai. Haggai. Chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, I actually wanted to read. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Here we have an extraordinary point. When God sends a prophet, then one has to recognize this. Then this is a divine sending. Then God himself speaks through the mouth of the prophet to his people. And if it is written here that they recognized before the Lord God that this man was sent to them by God himself. Then it says also, if I send someone and you receive him, then you receive me. Now, listen, what is written in verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. With whom was God? With those who recognized that this man has spoken to them by the commission of God, that it was God himself who spoke and who has sent his prophets at all times, also in our time. And also about this we will briefly speak. All those who are not of the seed of God, they have an inner rebellion, they have an inner opposition, they don't receive, they don't accept. It's not made for them. God will never make something fit for us. No, we have to recognize what he promised and what he's doing. And we really think on the first coming of the Lord, 4,000 years they were waiting that the Messiah would come. And he came to his own, and his own received him not. What is today? The promise which God has given in the last church age, what was it? First, the condition, lukewarm. And the Lord was not inside, the Lord was outside. Inside was music, inside was all kinds of things, but the Lord was outside. He was standing before the door. He was not in the synagogue, not in the temple. He was standing outside. And therefore it's written, behold, I stand before the door and knock. And then it says, he that has an ear, this is then addressed to the church. If one hears knocking, if one hears speaking, he who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches, And these are then the overcomers. These are the firstborn who have received the birthright by God himself. Here in Haggai, in chapter 2, Haggai chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, it's written, according to the promise that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear not. Brothers and sisters, as sure as the divine message, as sure as we have received the message and the messenger and recognized that God has sent him with a message who would forerun the second coming of Christ, so sure the Spirit of God remaineth in our midst. The Spirit of God can only rule and move where God's word is received and accepted, and where there is no opposition. Then, verse 6, let us read once again, verse 5. According to the promise, the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. Brothers and sisters, here's something very tremendous. In Genesis 15, verse 13, the Lord said, gave the promise to Abraham. And then, from Exodus 2, we have the story of Moses as that prophet, and God remembered his word. And here is an important point which became great to me. Before God gave the law, there was grace. The blood was applied before the commandments, before the law was given. Let my people go. The message preceded the Exodus. The same it is now. Ye, my people, come out. First, the commission. Let my son go, that he may serve me. And then the plagues, if it doesn't happen, and then only comes chapter 12. Only then comes when the lamb was slaughtered and when the blood was applied to the doorposts and when the destruction angel had to pass by because he saw the blood. The blood was shed before the law was given. Before one commandment was given, the covenant was already given by the blood of the Lamb. And also this thought is just so tremendous. The blood was really applied only on the doorposts and on the top. Not on the bottom upon which one treads upon. The blood was never allowed to be tread upon. The same it is now. In the new covenant, we are under the precious blood of our Lord. We are redeemed once for all. Then we hear the words of our God and we take them to heart. And the wonderful thing is, the promise which I have covenanted you, this was not Haggai, this was the Lord God who spoke, which I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. What is today, brothers and sisters? What happened on the day of Pentecost? And yesterday, it was really laid upon my heart that I should mention this, that I must mention this. In the first sermon, you can all read it, what was said here, namely, unto you and unto your children is the promise. All fathers and mothers who are here today, Stand upon this promise. Stand upon the word which was given in the first sermon. For the promise is unto you and to your children. Stand upon it today and say, beloved Lord, this promise which you have given at the beginning is still valid today at the end. And as we said it many times, the first and the last sermon must and will agree. The wonderful parallels from the New to the Old Testament. The plan of salvation was announced everywhere, and then it was also fulfilled. Please remember, fathers and mothers, the promise from the first sermon under the direct inspiration of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Stand today by faith upon this promise, and you will experience what God has done also in your children in a supernatural way. And there where we stop to speak, there God can start to speak. This is just like that. Let us come back to Haggai, chapter 2. Just a mighty word. Once again, verse 5. And then also, verse 6. According to the promise that I, not somebody, that I, the Lord God, has given you when you came out of Egypt, it remains. Every promise of God is yea and amen. And my spirit remaineth among you. Also, this is not a wishful thinking. This is a divine fact. Just be honest. If the Holy Spirit would not be in our midst, then you would not have the same revelation. Then you would not have any access to what God has promised. His Spirit moves in our midst. And if, when the word is preached, then the Holy Spirit reveals it to the individual. And then we are all blessed by God. Verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Let us read on before we look at some other scriptures. Let us go to Zechariah. We can read a couple of scriptures of that, what has happened at that time, and about that, what is happening now. The Lord God is jealous for Jerusalem, but he's also very jealous for us as the New Testament church. Later on, you can read Haggai 2 from verse 21. Speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. This is thus saith the Lord. And here, it is about Judah. And if you then go to Zechariah chapter 2, in verse 16, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 16,
Der Herr wird Juda als sein Erbteil auf dem heiligen Boden in Besitz.
Verse 12, and the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Where will he receive the church? On the holy ground, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, going in into the holy place. Just as God is taking care of, that very soon all these words will come to fulfillment. And let us read it confidently once again. Not only the promise, but the Lord, verse 12, chapter 2, verse 12, and the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the holy land, and shall choose, not in New York, not here and there, but in the land of promise. There it will be fulfilled what God promised. In the same way, it is with the church. He will gather, and he's gathering now from all peoples, tongues, and nations, because that's how it was announced. In thee all nations of the earth shall be blessed. This happened by Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, in this connection, what is very precious would be the fact from Zechariah chapter 4, where the church is shown as the golden lampstand. Not only Israel, not only that he will receive his people in the Holy Land, but here the golden candlestick is shown to us in chapter 4 with the oil bowl, with the seven pipes. And then we are even told there are two olive trees, namely the two prophets, as they are also described in Revelation 11. And then it says, in the second part of verse 6, Zechariah 4, second part of verse 6, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's so mighty. We can pass on the teaching, but only the Spirit of God can give and work new life in all of us. And let us say it. Let us say it once again. There, where the divine message is being received, there where it is being believed, there the Spirit of God is on the move. Also tonight, the Spirit of God is present. And this is the only place in all of the Bible where it speaks of the headstone, of the capstone, of the cornerstone. It always speaks of the prophet Isaiah, and also Peter lined it out. But here, you all know, who Zerubbabel was. In connection with the building of the temple, and as the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and how God could use him. And here, in verse 7, in Zechariah 4, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone thereof with shoutings, crying grace, grace unto it. Whatever. The capstone will be placed. The Lord will take care for everything. And then we have it here in verse 10. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet. the capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven, and they are the eyes of the Lord. Just so mighty how God announced the plan of salvation of the New Testament church already in the Old Testament. And we all know that Brother Branham, he spoke about the seven church ages. Yes, what the Holy Scripture says about it. Was there ever one man who knew what the first, second, third seal means? Was there ever a man who would know what the fifth seal means? Was there ever someone in the past? No! God, at the right time, He has sent His prophet to reveal the mysteries of His Word and to really show it how the Antichrist in his four stages would do his work on the earth. And then in the fifth seal, the Jews, the martyrs under the altar, they're crying for vengeance. How long, O Lord, our God, until you avenge our blood? And then the answer, wait until your brothers and servants are also killed like you were killed. And then comes the sixth seal. The moon turned into blood and the sun into darkness and the stars are falling from heaven. The introduction or the into the day of the Lord. Then comes the seventh seal, which of course will happen also during the sixth, up to the seven wiles, which will be poured out, of course, everything only after the rapture. Brothers and sisters, I'm just asking, who had access to the book of Revelation? There had to be a prophetic ministry to give the access to the prophetic word. And it's still written, God does nothing unless he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. And we are living in this wonderful time period in which we arrived. And I just hope that all who are present today and all who are joining us online all over the earth, that we all understood it's not about a man. It's about the blood-bought flock. It's about all who have part in the rapture. It's about our calling out. It's about the restoration. It's about the preparation. And blessed is he who hearkens to the voice of the Lord. We are not on the way with our own message, but as we read in the prophet Haggai, by the power of God's message, it's really, thus saith the Lord. And that we now have to be brought back to the beginning, that the church is erected anew. To this, we could read a couple of scriptures. Even Isaiah 48, everywhere God announced what would happen up to the book of Acts, chapter 3, that our Lord and Savior waits in heaven until the times of restoration of all things. God promised it in His Word, and it's really happening before our very eyes. So, when Brother Branham was told that the message which was entrusted to him would forerun the second coming of Christ, this one has to take seriously. And especially when one has met eye and ear witnesses, then there's a great responsibility connected with it. And this responsibility we have, and we carry it, the responsibility to know that not a man has invented something, but that the Lord God Himself really has descended in the supernatural pillar of fire and cloud, as in the time of Moses, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now we are coming to the main thought. All the others, they will oppose and object. I noted the scriptures down. Even of our Lord, it says in Luke 2, a sign which will be spoken against. On every step, the Pharisees and scribes, they were objecting our Lord. Then in Acts 28, it says, this sect which is always spoken against, everywhere, opposition, arguments. We don't need any arguments. We believe what God has said in the Holy Scripture. And His word was by grace revealed unto us without any fanaticism. Now, the people of Israel had, of course, a big trouble. Let us say it as it is. Also, they objected. It didn't profit them. The pillar of fire didn't profit. The manna, the rock was smitten, and water came out from the rock. With their hearts, they went astray, because the heart was not yet changed. It was still the old heart, and they were walking on this way. And then the Lord, of course, had to make a decision. And I said, I tell you, it's very hard. It's very hard. God calls the disobedience and the rebellion as the breaking of the covenant, He calls it. And there's only one scripture. I think the Jews in the moment, they have 613 various instructions and commandments and so forth. All of life God ordered for them. But the only point where it speaks of the breaking of the covenant, there it's about objecting, about opposition, always about against. And then the Lord really called it the breaking of the covenant. I noted it down, Leviticus 26. It's Leviticus 26. Here the Lord calls the disobedience and the objecting of those whom He had chosen, namely Leviticus 26. We read, one could read many scriptures here, maybe verse 18, Leviticus 26, verse 18, and if ye will not yet for all this obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power. Pride, opposition, objecting, disobedience were united. Then verse 21, and if ye walk contrary unto me, who is the man who would oppose God? Who is the man? And if ye walk contrary unto me and will not obey me, then, verse 23, And if ye will not be warned by me by these things, but will still walk contrary unto me, still contrary unto me, brothers and sisters, just believe me today. Give up every objecting. Believe God fully, full obedience, whether you understand it or not. Just believe what God said in His Word, and then it will be revealed unto us. The terrible thing comes now in verse 25. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. The avenge of breaking my covenant. They shall avenge the breaking of my covenant. There's only one word more, also of all the commandments, which is about breaking. And this is adultery. All the others are trespasses and sins and so forth. But adultery is a breaking of a covenant, is a breaking. And therefore, God has laid the death penalty on adultery. God didn't want that a man takes a wife of somebody else. God wanted to protect the family. He wanted order. He wanted to have harmony. And therefore, the two comparisons, breaking of the covenant, not being obedient, not walking in the ways of God, and to object God, and then, even in the New Testament, Matthew 5, verse 28 to 32, even whoever looks at the wife of somebody else to covet, he already committed adultery in his heart. But has to really speak a clear language here. As children of God, we cannot do what we like and thinking, oh, everything will be well. No. We have to keep the word of God and we have to live it out. We could read all the scriptures. What was it? Leviticus and Deuteronomy 15, 22 and so forth. Everywhere God spoke about it. What is a breaking? What is a breaking? If somebody breaks his arm, yes. And what then? It can be still put right. And if there's a changing of the climate, of the weather, then you still feel it. The same it is with breaking of a marriage covenant. But one day the weather changes. And what then? May God give grace that this day is a day of salvation, a day of grace, that we take all things precisely and seriously what the Lord God has given us along our way. And then there will be no objection anymore. When the Lord then says, the man is the head of the wife and Christ is the head of the husband, then there's no opposition in the heart. Then there's just an agreeing. Yes, that's how it is written, that's how you said it, and that's how it is. And if then it's being said, the wives should be silent in the churches, then the wives, the women are happy that they don't have to speak. They don't have to take any responsibility. And if they have questions, then they shall ask their husbands at home. Is it not so? Is it not so that the wives know everything better in the natural? But no opposition, no objecting in us, but just agreeing, saying, yes, Lord, that's how you said it, and that's how it shall be in my life, by your grace. Everything what God predicted and announced in his word and what he commanded, this has to be fulfilled in our lives by his grace. God willing, tomorrow we will speak about the points which had to be restored upon the original stand, in particular in the doctrine. God restores all things. Let us summarize of what is about today. God has given promises to Israel. He has given promises to Abraham. After 400 years, I will take your descendants out of bondage. And when the time was fulfilled, God has called a prophet from the mother's womb. He was consecrated to the Lord for the great commission which God carried out on the earth. And God was with him. And this Moses could then even say in Deuteronomy 5, 18, a prophet like unto me, the Lord God will choose from among your people a man with whom God was speaking from face to face. And then we also came to know there were men who were objecting, who didn't like the decisions of God, although they belonged to the tribe of Levi and had to do special things. And then they said, are you the only one with whom God has spoken? Moses was the only one. But the people of God, the people of God also heard the voice of the Lord, who spoke with a thundering voice on the Mount Sinai. With fire he came down. Please don't forget the main point here. Before the law was given in the Exodus 20, in Exodus 12, the blood of the lamb was already applied for the redemption, for the protection, took care of. Before Pentecost came, before the church was spoken into existence, the blood of the Lamb was shed, the blood of the new covenant. And we are just so grateful that all the promises were included, and that we may live now and be under the blood of the Lamb. And the nice thing is that God has given us the indescribable grace that we do not interpret anything, but that we give our Lord the first place which is due to him. In the last week, I received 5 DVDs with more than 900 photographs and interviews, and everything was about Brother Branham. 5 DVDs. I would need at least 2 weeks to go through them. And what is about? About the cult of a man. Here no cult of man is made. Here Jesus Christ is being preached as the crucified one who has shed his blood for us on the cross of Calvary and who has put in force the new covenant. And the destruction angel, he has to bypass us. And if I then reads, rapture is a revelation, and whoever has the revelation is raptured. And whoever reads then, the new birth is a revelation, and whoever has the revelation of it is born again. Oh my, if one reads all kinds of things, then comes sadness. Great sadness comes up because everything was misunderstood. Every birth is a reality. Every natural birth is a reality. And the birth of our Lord was reality. And our new birth is a divine reality. If any man be in Christ, all things have become new. And the old is past. And the new comes up. Oh, these interpretations. It's just an abomination unto me. I just cannot stand them. God is alone in His Word. And everything what He promised, this is taking place just as He has said it in His Word. Even our changing at the return of the Lord, everything will take place just as written. Romans 8, verse 11, our mortal bodies will be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, one can read up all things. And all these brothers who are thinking to have to present something, they don't consider these words anymore at all, but they are only interpreting the quotations of Brother Branham and are bypassing the Word of God. To us, the divine message brought us back into the Word. Not so. This amen was not loud enough. By the revealed Word, we have been led back into the Word, and the written Word has become the revealed Word, and the Holy Spirit has made the Word alive unto us, as written. When the Spirit has come, then He will teach us all things, and He will lead us into all the truth. Let us close with a thought of the word of introduction. As it was reported in the book of Acts, chapter 10, and also in chapter 11, being gathered before the Lord to hear all the words which were commissioned to the man of God. And then it happened. I'm waiting for that day, on that day, where we all are coming to the service with such expectation that one doesn't have to wait until the end, but that the Holy Spirit really falls, that the Holy Ghost really descends, and that then it can be said, the Holy Ghost fell on us just as on them at the beginning. As at the beginning. Back to the beginning. Back to the Word. Back to our Lord. Back to the power of the Holy Ghost, who was at, which will be manifested in the church. Just as we read it. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit it shall happen, saith the Lord. May the Almighty God, may He lay all these words into our hearts. May He really lay it into our hearts. And please, also all the young people who are here today, submit under the mighty hand of God. You are ordained for salvation, for you who you are here today, and unto your children, and all who the Lord God shall call. This promise is unto you. For you there's no way around it. Just please say, Lord, here I am. I'm consecrating my life unto you. I'm coming to you just as I am. Receive me. Save my soul. Renew my spirit. Deliver my spirit if there are any bondages. And fill my soul with thy life. Are we grateful to God? Just grateful. Just briefly, we looked at the end times. We also referred to it briefly, of what kind of catastrophes in the last months have taken place. Even 2010 and also now in 2011, we all understood that especially the nations are in uproar, like the rushing of the seas. Everything is in movement. And then the looking at the word of prophecy, where all leads to, and what would be the result, brothers and sisters. We have much reason to thank the Lord, our God, with all our hearts. No objection, please. No rebellion. No, just agree, full agreement to what God has said in His Word. And then we are coming into the liberty of the Spirit. Then every word will be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Then nobody needs to teach the other one anymore. Then we will be all taught by God. Are you blessed? The Holy Scripture is the Holy Scripture. Once again, we thank God that we may live now. And Ezra said many times, from the mouth of our Lord, when you see these things coming to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Also this, we have said at the beginning, the divine message is reaching the ends of the earth, as written. And together with all our brethren in all nations, we may be the carrier of the divine message in this time. And the Lord will receive His church on the Holy Land, not in the Babylonian captivity, not in the confusion, but on the holy ground of His revealed word, washed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified in the word of God, and sealed with the Holy Ghost by His grace. May the Lord God, and I say it, probably I say it for a third or fourth time, may God really work in all the young people, in all brothers and sisters. May He lay the decision into their hearts to know, today God spoke to me personally. Today He said to me personally, not only to my father, not only to my mother, but to me, the son, the daughter, salvation shall be granted. Do you still remember it? For unto you, the promise is unto you, who you are listening now, for the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And we belong to it, the parents, the children, all who were afar off, whom the Lord God has called. Has He called you? Have you obeyed His call? Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Don't rebel. Don't object. Don't break the covenant with God. Don't break the covenant with God. The Israelites were breaking it. They were rebelling. They were disobedient, walking their own ways. What did the covenant broke? And because they broke the covenant, therefore their way is so difficult until this day. What happened to the New Testament church? God willing, we will speak about it tomorrow. God has given the promise to restore all things, to show the way to the church, to bring her back into the right stand, to make an end to all opposition, to all rebellion. Thy will be done in my life to the glory of your name. Are you all ready? Are you all ready to submit under the word of God? Then let us stand up for it. Then let us stand up for it. Perhaps the two sisters have a fitting song which we can hear. We are remaining already in prayer. Just very important to believe the Lord and that what He said, to take it seriously and to submit under it and to thank Him with all our hearts. During this time, we all want to examine ourselves and asking the Lord that He reveals Himself to us.
Bist du bereit zu der Stunde, wenn Gott die Seinen heimholt? Hast du vernommen die Kunde, wie er die Seinen belohnt? Wenn er erscheint in den Wolken, in Majestät und in Pracht, ich kann's nicht sagen in Worten, mein Herz es jubelt und wacht. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Kannst du begreifen die Liebe, Jesus Christus dir beut? Bist du mit ihm dann im Frieden, wenn Jesus käme noch heut? Er hat die Städte bereitet für die noch wartende Schar, die immer treu für ihn streiten. Es kommt der verheißene Tag. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Nichts ist vom Leid mehr geblieben, Spott und Hohn sind dann vorbei. Jesus will allzeit dich lieben, dies meine Losung soll sein. Möchtest du mit in die Heimat, willst Jesus du einmal sehen? Er nur bringt dich in die schöne Stadt, du brauchst nur zu Jesus zu gehen. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland. wundervoll sind seine Werke. Herrlich im weißen Gewand.
Amen. Danke vielmals.
Thank you very much.
Ja, die weiß gekleidete Schar.
Yes, the multitude dressed in white will be with the Lord without spot and without wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified in the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, and we may be part of it if we believe as the Scripture has said and what it says. Also in this time, we have heard the word of prophecy. We recognized that the man was sent by God. As John the Baptist was a man sent from God, because his ministry was a part of the divine plan of salvation. And so it is with us also in this time, by His grace. May it be today a consecration hour of the complete dedication to our Lord. A dedication to never oppose, to just believe and receive every word. And then the word will never return void, but it will accomplish for what it was sent for. Today, we will pray together. Please, as we can also sing together, so we can also pray together. The voices are ascending to the throne, and especially what we are expressing. One doesn't have to be very loud. God hears what we tell Him by faith. And He will today save, deliver, and heal. This service may not end until God has done great things on old and young, great and little, on fathers and mothers, on children, sons and daughters, on all of us who we were afar off, whom the Lord our God has called. God called us with an holy calling. And as the Lord will receive Israel on holy ground on Mount Zion, that's how it is written in Hebrews 12, you have come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. Brothers and sisters, God is present today. He spoke to us through His word, and we recognized that the time of grace is coming to its end, and everything is already in preparation to that what will happen after the rapture. Just think of it. In preparation of what will happen after the rapture, how near is then the rapture? Please, from today on, no opposition, no rebellion, no breaking of the covenant, but submitting under God and His word. And now we pray together. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, we have heard your word. We have learned the great lesson of it. We are returning. We are returning to you. We believe your word and we receive what you have said. Have thine own way today in our midst. Save what is lost. Bring back what is in, heal what is sick. Dear Lord, we remember especially our brother Victor Schmidt, all who are in trouble. We are bringing you all, and we ask you, confirm thy word, confirm thy holy word in all of us. Today, your word accomplishes for what you have sent it for. Blessed be your holy name, for your revealed and living word of God, which remains forever. Thank you, you ever faithful God. You have done it. You have done it. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. All disobedience, all disobedience is brought to the Lord now. And from today, there is no rebellion, no opposition, but only what you said, Lord. Dear Lord, I'm consecrating unto you your people, your blood-bought flock. May you manifest your blessing by your grace. Bless all over the earth. Bless beginning from New Zealand up to the last country of the last continent, O Lord. Bless in Africa, in Asia, in Europe. Bless your church, your blood-bought flock of the firstborn. Beloved Lord, today I'm claiming all who are ordained for eternal life, that they believe today at this place, that they give up every opposition, and that they believe with all their hearts and are obedient. Blessed and praised be your wonderful, thy holy name of Jesus. O God. O God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glorify our God. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let us sing, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
For you and for me,
for us. He made this day. It is our day. As Brother Branham has preached it, recognize the day and the message. We recognize the day. We recognized the message. We received it. And we appreciate the messenger who by the power of God has delivered the message. And time and again he said, the message is back to the Word. Back to the Word. Back to the beginning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is building his church upon the original foundation as it was in the days of Zerubbabel and Ezra. Upon the original foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. And the capstone will be placed. Don't you worry. He who has placed the chief cornerstone will also place the capstone, and all will shout with joy and will give glory to God. Do you all believe it? Do you believe it? We ask Brother Schmidt that he prays with us. Great God, the words are missing, my God. The thoughts are missing to summarize what you have spoken to us and as you spoke to us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the work of your grace. Thanks be to you for the completion which you brought yourself by shedding your blood, the blood of the covenant there on the cross of Calvary. So we thank you. Give us grace that this blood is applied on our hearts as the redemption, so that you are Lord over us. Please give it to all of us by grace, each individual. Please give us here the grace, here at this place, as it was prayed, and all over the earth, everywhere where it is being seen and listened to, and all who put their trust in you. Please vindicate your word. And when the people are asking to pray for them, then we pray for them. Please, Lord, hear every prayer all over the earth. You alone can make things well. To you be the thanks. Please abide with us, Lord Jesus, and give us grace if there is a tomorrow, Lord, that we come in reverence to this place, to the place which you have given to us. Oh God, sanctify each one of us. Lord, give grace that also our conversations are sanctified and for the only using for your glory. Amen. Under the blood, the precious. Amen.
Amen. Für alle, die an den Übersetzungen teilhaben.
For all who are having part in the translations, God bless you. For your patience that you listen to. And may God bless all the translators from the riches of His grace. May the Lord be with all of us. Each one is shaking hands. And then we go out slowly. And as it was mentioned already, let us enter into this building with reverence. And let us also leave this building with reverence. Parents, watch over your children, that they're always with you. May the Lord bless us all and be with us. Amen.